When tough times hit and we feel deep pain, we start to ask questions. We wonder, why did it even have to happen? And we can even start to question our faith. When we're faced with loss, what will it take to pivot deeper into faith and not further away? That's today on the podcast. Hey, it's Marisa from the Tower Hill production team. Thanks so much for tuning into our Tower Hill podcast. Wherever or whenever you're listening, we hope this podcast helps you to continue on your faith journey. This month, we've been looking at five things that God uses to grow your faith. And today, Pastor Teresa is finishing off this series with something that may surprise you. She examines what happens when we experience loss and how God can actually use hard times to grow our faith. So let's listen in right now.
Welcome, everyone. I'm so glad that you have come today and gathered to listen to what the Lord has to say to us today. I'm Pastor Teresa, and we promised you 5 weeks ago that we would spend 5 weeks looking at five things that God uses to grow your faith. And today we are on the fifth week, and we are wrapping up our series. Remember, we started by saying that faith is a gift from God, and it is freely given to anyone who will open their heart and receive it. But once we receive the faith, the scripture says we need to make every effort to add to our faith so that our faith does not become ineffective and unproductive. So we have been asking the question each of our 5 weeks, what if you had complete confidence in God? How would that change your life? How would it change the way you see yourself and other people and your circumstances? I don't know about you, but I find myself convicted by that question because I do not have complete confidence in God. I can't always see where God is in my circumstances or in the circumstances of other people for whom I am burdened. But I will say I have growing confidence in God. And I think that's what the Lord is looking for from us, that whatever our circumstances, we keep looking for Him in them. Remember that Jesus said, "Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet believe." And so we have observed five things that God uses to grow our faith. The first one, you might remember, is practical teaching from the Bible. The second one is providential relationships. The third is private disciplines. The fourth, which we talked about last week, is personal ministry. And we come today to the fifth, which is pivotal circumstances. When things in our life don't turn out as we expect, people often say to a person of faith, well, your faith must be a comfort to you. But I find it's often harder for a person of faith when things don't turn out as they have prayed for. They have more questions about who God is. Does God care about me? Does God see my situation? How do I integrate my faith in God into the unexpected circumstances of my life? We're calling these pivotal circumstances because they cause me either to pivot toward God or pivot away from God, to pivot to deeper faith or deeper doubt, deeper belief or deeper unbelief. We're going to look at the story today, the story of Lazarus, where Jesus' disciples face pivotal circumstances. making them realize that Jesus does not always do what his followers expect him to do. If Jesus is the Son of God, then we can extrapolate that God does not always do what we expect God to do, even if we are his faithful followers. So Jesus and his disciples were 2 days away when they got word that Lazarus was ill. But Jesus waited 2 more days until Lazarus died and then returned with his disciples. Jesus told them, "This is for the glory of God. We think it would glorify God most if his followers were spared sickness, death, and suffering." But Jesus knows what will glorify God the most. It may not be the outcome we expect, but it forces us to choose which way we will turn. Will we turn toward God, or will we begin to drift away from God? Our scripture for today is from John chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied, "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But, Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there's a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." This story teaches us that loss is a pivotal circumstance that tests our faith. Martha asks our pivotal question, "Lord, where were you? Lord, if you had been here, Lord, why weren't you here when I needed you?" This is the struggle of faith, to believe in the face of loss. It always matters what we believe at times of loss. Does Jesus care? There are 2 parts to that question. Does Jesus care what happens to the one that I love, who is lost to me now? And the second part is, does Jesus care what happens to me now? If this person is gone, my life as I knew it is over. Martha affirms what she believes. She says, "I know my brother will rise on the last day. I know there's something in eternity that will bring him back to life." Loss is a pivotal circumstance that tests our faith. And so, in response to Martha's question, Jesus has his first pivotal question. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Martha's affirmation of faith is, yes, Lord, I believe you are the one we've been waiting for, the one the prophets told us would come into the world and would set everything right. Jesus leads Martha into deeper belief. And this is what he does for us in times of crisis. What deeper belief does Jesus invite us into in times of loss? He asks, do you believe I am the resurrection and the life? I am the one that assures there will be life after death. But I also am the one who gives life to you here and now. I am the one that restores and breathes new life into what seems to be dead. He leads us in to a belief that God sent his Son into the world to suffer all the things that we suffer. He leads us into a deeper belief that God loves us, even in times of sickness and suffering and death. That God cares about what happens to us after we die, but he cares just as much about what your life is like right here and now. The hymn writer says, the Lord says, I will be with you, your trials to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. Loss invites us to deeper faith. Jesus comes to the tomb, enters into our loss, invites us to go deeper with him. When we see Jesus at the tomb, Jesus is deeply moved in spirit and troubled by their pain. Jesus became human to show us that God enters into our pain. He doesn't stand aloof from us, but comes alongside us. And when we understand that Jesus understands, we can pivot toward God. You may remember the story of Corrie ten Boom, captured in a book called The Hiding Place. Corrie was a woman in her 50s when she and her sister decided that when the Nazis occupied the Netherlands, that they had to hide their Jewish friends in their attic. They were, of course, betrayed by a neighbor and rounded up and taken to the camps. And of course, when they arrived, they had to strip naked, and they were paraded in front of these guards that were leering at them. And Corrie's sister whispered to her, Jesus was stripped naked also. That was a comfort to the sisters to understand that even this humiliation that they were suffering was one that the Lord Jesus himself had suffered, and it helped them to turn to their loving Lord, even in this time of bitter trial. We see at the tomb Jesus' outrage over death. And you remember that the first stage of grief is anger. Anger that this unique person is gone. We see that Jesus is grieved by the loss of Lazarus. We wonder, is Jesus also grieved that they blame him? They cut themselves off from their only true consolation. Because grief can lead to blaming God, to bitterness, to rebellion against God, or to deeper trust in God. And so Jesus' second pivotal question is, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus prays for the faith of the people gathered. And what a consolation it is to us to realize that Jesus prays for our faith. Remember, Jesus said to Peter, Satan has demanded to have you, to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And so Jesus prays to the Father that they may believe that you sent me. This is the prayer of Jesus' heart for you, whatever your circumstances, that you may believe that he was sent by the Father into our broken world to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, that you may believe he became human just like us, became one of us so he could enter in to whatever we suffer. We do not have a high priest, the scripture says, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Therapists tell us that one of the losses we fear the most is that the people that are closest to us will not keep their promises. We fear being betrayed by people that are dear to us. As many of you know, I worked for 30 years in the corporate world before I became a pastor, even though I sometimes felt I was pastoring my flock in the corporate world also. And I had a young man who was very bright and very promising, and I spent a lot of time pouring myself in to develop him because I could see what his potential was. And he broke free, and he was climbing up the corporate ladder and doing so well. And then we were in a meeting together, and you can picture the conference table, and I know many of you have to navigate the hierarchical structure of your workplace. And we were at a meeting with all of the higher-ups that we reported to. And at this meeting, he turned on me, and he twisted something that I had said and made it appear to all these people that we reported to that I was utterly incompetent. And I was stunned and hurt and confused. And the next day, I was praying to the Lord about this situation and how did I respond to it and about what the fallout would be, because you know there's always fallout over things like that. And I was reading the scripture where Jesus says, "The one who broke bread with me has lifted up his heel against me." And it resonated with the betrayal that I felt. And I saw that Jesus could understand betrayal. And I had a choice whether I could believe that Jesus could bring life even out of that deadliest blow, even out of that stab in the heart. Jesus always commands life. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus was still wrapped up in the grave clothes. Lazarus was revived, but Lazarus would die again. You remember that when Jesus was resurrected, he left the grave clothes behind because he would never die again. He has the power of an indestructible life. But we are all wrapped up in our grave clothes. Picture the homeless man that you pass on the street that's all wrapped up in every piece of clothing, his whole wardrobe and his whole life on his back. It's a picture of how we are all wrapped up in all the things that bind us to death, all the things that keep us from being free, our wounds, our sins, our compulsions, our resentments. Because we're all dead in our sin until Jesus calls us to come out and be free. Jesus is the author of life, and he always calls us out to a new life in him, a life of faith, a life of hope with him that all things are possible. Jesus' cry is always, let them go, let them be free, let them come to the fullness of life, the abundant life that I have for them. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha are all raised to a new life of intimacy with Jesus. They discover that Jesus is about resurrection all the time, not just a distant promise of eternal life someday in heaven. Because Jesus is continuously restoring us to new life when our hopes die, when our dreams die, when our friends betray us, when we think our life is over. We are raised to new life right now, right here with Jesus. Jesus says, the one who believes in me is not condemned, but has crossed over from death to life. But we have to choose life. And you know that the circumstances of your life can cause you to pivot to deeper unbelief. It says of the Pharisees at the end of the Lazarus story, so from that day on, they plotted to take Jesus' life. There is a choice before us. We always have the choice in our pivotal circumstances to refuse to believe that Jesus is at work in my life and drive him out in every way I can. Or you can pivot to deeper faith. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary, the scripture says, and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. Can you say, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, who has come into the world to bear all of our sorrows. I believe that you were sent by the Father into my world, and I put all my circumstances into your hands. Can you pivot to deeper faith and make your next prayer, Lord, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. Lord, enter into the places where I don't trust you, where I don't have confidence in you. Claim more of my heart as your own and watch your faith grow. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.